Our longtime friend Russell Baxter, who is an NFL writer and analyst and historian for a variety of outlets like FanSided and NFL Spin Zone. And I can't keep up with all of your jobs, Russell Baxter. I don't know how you do it, but I know you love what you do. Do you ever get overwhelmed by the number of assignments?
No, because I stay organized and so on. And thank you for those kind words. And I do love what I do. And that's what makes it easy. And, I actually just got contacted by a site called Steeler Nation, which I did a piece for, kind of a retrospect of what's gone wrong with the Steelers in the playoffs the last four times they play, which have all been kind of pretty ugly losses, to be honest with you. But no, it's a passion of mine. I was so fortunate to get into this field. I was just a big football fan and just started writing. And one thing led to another, from ESPN to CBS to my website now and all the things I'm doing now. So it's been quite the ride. And at 62 years old, I am at the halfway point of life.
You have a diversified portfolio, to be sure. So we're glad to have you with us once again, especially early morning. Thank you for joining us live. When we think about what's happening in the NFL right now, it has been some kind of a crazy offseason, not just the quarterback movement, but I honestly think, Russ, that 2022, the number one way the season will be defined is by the movement among wide receivers and the amount of money that's been doled out to various receivers, and not just the best in the business, but even some others that were just fortunate enough to catch a team who had money to burn and needed a receiver. When you think about the receivers who have changed teams, how do you think that could impact the 22 campaign?
Well, at least in the regular season, offense has been, a big part of success. Okay. And I look at somebody like Tyreek Hill, who can take a 2-yard pass into a 60-yard touchdown. I mean, late that game, at the playoff game against the Bills, that little pass he took all over the middle and then cut to the outside and just outraced everybody, just shows you what he's only been in the league 6 years. He's been in Pro Bowl every year. And, Miami is overdue to have someone of that big play potential with their team, and a guy like that who makes life easier for the quarterback because of his ability to make nothing into something. obviously into, Davante Adams for the Raiders. And although the Raiders, there's so much going on there and so on. On the personnel, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler really kind of putting their stamp on the team. Remember, in 2019, they drafted three guys in the first round. They didn't pick up the option on any of the three this month, including Josh Jacobs, which I really thought was a surprise. In fact, I just did a piece on the Atlanta Falcons, and you can throw the Bears in there. They're scrounging to find wide receivers, and so, which is almost hard to believe. But, I think you saw what happened with Christian Kirk in Jacksonville. Sure. Leaving the Cardinals, and he got really big money. And, as we are finding out, Davante Adams really wanted to go to the Raiders. It was more so than even staying with the Packers. And, I remember the last time we talked, we talked about quarterback dictating. This year, all players seem to be dictating where they want to go. If you're not going to pay me, I would like to go somewhere else.
Sure.
Even though the salary cap went way up this year, because last year it went down because of COVID and so on, teams aren't willing to break the bank, frankly, for any position except for a quarterback. Okay, there's too many other things and too many other positions that need to be addressed. And as we find out every year, by the time the Super Bowl rolls around, regardless of how good you are during the regular season, regardless of how many points you scored, Dallas led the league with 530 points. They didn't get out of the first round. You better make sure you're pretty secure on defense. And that includes your offensive line. That's the Bengals. They spent this offseason fixing the offensive line. It was good enough to get to the Super Bowl, but it wasn't good enough to prevent Aaron Donald and Von Miller from spending the second half in their backfield.
just talking about the season makes me feel like it should not be May. We should be much closer. So, Russ, I was on vacation last week. I'm not sorry. It was great. No. But what I missed was the NFL schedule release, which the league has now turned into this made-for-TV event, even though there were leaks galore, apparently. What are a few games that I need to know about? So, and I'm not joking about this. I have not looked at the schedule at all. I decided I would leave this up to you and your insight. So a few games that I need to know about.
Well, I mean, they're kicking off the season with a bang, as they usually do, as you know. And for a little retrospect, I always like to tell this story. You know, the Thursday night kickoff, which we now know is the Super Bowl champion hosting a team, which was not always the case. Remember, and, you know, not to bring up a somber subject, but the Thursday night games started back in early 2000s after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And the first one was in New York, the second one was in Washington. And they became such a big hit that starting in 2004, New England Patriots hosted the Colts. The defending Super Bowl champion would host the first game of the season. And what a wild one we got. We get the Rams and the Bills, okay? The Rams coming off their Super Bowl campaign, and Buffalo, which scored 36 points and still couldn't win a playoff game, which should tell you something a little about their offseason and so on. I know, to me, Amy, not to cop out on your question, it's kind of less about specific games because all the division champions are going to play each other within the conference a year ago. To me, it's more how the schedule lays out. And I know we get inundated with, well, they've got the hardest schedule or they've got the easiest schedule. The schedules are set up years in advance on a rotating system. And then depending on how you finish, it changes. And now, this year, the NFC teams will play 9 home games. Last year, the AFC teams played 9 home games. But I like to go back and look at stretches. And, you know, I recently did a piece. I sound like a shameless plug every time I talk to you. The Broncos, to me, had the most intriguing schedule because, A, of what they did this offseason, and, you know, Russell Wilson, new head coach, Randy Gregory on defense, they're going to attempt to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, there's a little problem with that. First off, Kansas City's been in the playoffs 7 years in a row, longest streak in the league. They've won the AFC West 6 years in a row, longest streak in the league in terms of a division title. Okay? Mm-hmm. Even a longer streak is the fact that the Denver Broncos have lost 13 straight games to the Kansas City Chiefs. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since the year they won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That should tell you something. So, interesting enough, the Broncos and, you know, they get, by the way, the Broncos in Seattle, first Monday night game, Russell Wilson versus his old team, which, you know, should be a lot of fun, obviously. But when you go down the line, and we all know how teams play division games the final game of the year. Well, Denver doesn't get to Kansas City until the final 5 games of the year, and they get them twice.
Wow.
So this is already a packed division. I mean, who knows what the Chargers, they tease us every year. Okay, we just mentioned the Raiders. So I look at teams like Denver who may not have their fate decided in terms of winning the AFC West until December. And I know that sounds silly, but they're not even going to get a chance to play Kansas City until December. Those are the kind of things I look at with the schedule because the easiest, hardest thing, I believe if you go by the numbers, Amy, the 4 easiest schedules all belong to the teams in the NFC East. Well, why do you think that is?
Duh.
Because they play each other.
Right.
And they all play similar schedules. So I kind of always giggle the hardest. And listen, this isn't college football. You're not getting, you know, points for a certain win and a certain loss and so mm-hmm. on. So I think, to me, I look at a team like Denver with all these expectations. And by the way, they also haven't been in the playoffs since 2015, okay? They've also had 5 consecutive losing seasons. So shapes up as a big year for them in terms of expectations. But we're going to have to wait a little bit until they get to the Chiefs. And face it, that's huge. And again, if you look at the piece, and so Baltimore to me is very intriguing because they play a lot of late division games. And it might surprise people to know that they were 1-5 in the division last year, which is very un-John Harbaugh-like. And even more un-John Harbaugh-like is the Ravens lost their last six games of the year. They were 8-3. They finished 8-9. So they're bringing a six-game losing streak into the season. So those are the kinds of things. You know how this league is. After week one, 16 fan bases will claim Super Bowl title. And the other 16 fan bases will claim, we're so bad, we're going to get the number one pick in the
draft. Pump the brakes, baby. Pump the brakes. That's what it is. Russell Baxter is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. We're up against a hard out, so I just have about 60 seconds. Tom Brady doesn't, at this point, have a great relationship with the media, though he is respectful and does his job. He's about to make that jump to the dark side. What advice would you give him, Russ?
Do your homework, okay? And understand that, and I don't have to tell you, being at a live event, especially a game, is so much different than doing anything in a studio, okay? There are some people who excel in pregame shows and then go to the booth, and it's a different ballgame, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So it is. It's a matter of doing your homework. And doing what you do best. It's not showing off if you know what the play is, okay? You know, I've worked with guys. I remember sitting with Sterling Sharp at ESPN. He wasn't in the booth. He did shows with us, but he would sit in the conference room and call plays, and they would happen, okay? And that's what Tom Brady could bring to the table. That's what Tony Romo, in essence, kind of brings to the table.
Because he can see it. Yes, for sure. Agreed. Now, Russ has got a wealth of information from all his various outlets that he has and that he participates in. So you want to find him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. There's a link to his website, ProFootballGuru.com. It's always good to have you. Next time, we'll spend a little more time, Russ. But enjoy, and thanks again for joining us live.
My pleasure. 78 days to the Hall of Fame game. Anthony Munoz.
Boom. That's going to be amazing. All right, Russ, we'll talk to you soon.